They're saying a smarter play is to confess your guilt. Own it. You pled guilty. Just own the guilt.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pekas. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we speak with journalist Jack Hitt about the world of prison consultants. Let's say you've been arrested for a white-collar crime and prison is looking inevitable. Whatever emotional roller coaster awaits, there are resources available, and they don't come from the state. That's the subject of Jack Hitt's new piece in the New York Times Magazine called "Want to Do Less Time? A Prison Consultant Might Be Able to Help." Hitt is a familiar voice on these airwaves as an influential This American Life contributor, and his decades of journalism also include the podcast Uncivil. Jack Hitt, thanks for being here.
Ian, great to be here.
So what got you interested in this world of prison consultants?
You know, it was during the Varsity Blues scandal of a couple of years ago. Remember, that was Lori Loughlin and all those folks who hired people to engineer their children's acceptance into various high, you know, prestige schools, you know, UCLA, Stanford, Harvard, Yale, so on. I'm not sure Harvard, but definitely Yale. Anyway, it was through these odd sports programs and other things. And after they got caught, they hired, I saw this is the first reference I'd ever seen to these prison consultants to help them with the whole process of going to jail. And I thought, wait, what? There are consultants to help you go to jail? And yeah, there are. And so I just wanted to know, like, well, what do they do? So I started calling around and seeing if any of these consultants would speak to me.
And what do they do?
Well, so there's a bunch of different consultants. Some of them didn't return my phone call, which made me think that the reputation of some of these guys is kind of shady operators who are basically just taking people's money with some pledge to fix things for them. That con apparently seems to be alive and well. I did find myself eventually gravitating towards some consultants, and specifically one firm out in Los Angeles that had been hired by numerous people that I began to talk to. So they actually have a complete business, a kind of McKinsey consulting firm for people headed to jail. There's about 12 or so of these consultants. They're all convicted or they've pled out felons. They've all served time in different prisons for different kinds of crimes. They all bring to this firm different levels of expertise, down to and including like which prisons they've gone to, in what regions of the country, what kinds of time they serve, low security, medium, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's a full service prison consulting firm. If you're going to jail and you want to know like what am I in for, right? And how can I mitigate some of that? These are the people you call.
People obviously expect their lawyer to do a certain aspect of this work. You know, if they're guilty of something, they've pled guilty and they've got an option to maybe shave off some time or that kind of thing. But how do the consultants, what does their work do different from what a lawyer does?
Well, so yes, a lawyer does, your criminal defense lawyer does the sort of the legal work, right? Of mitigating the sentence, of arguing before the judge that you don't deserve as much as, say, the guidelines might suggest. And that's the legal part of it. But here's the big shift. And we've all known about this for a long time, but most people who are going to jail have pled guilty. How many? I mean, on the federal level, about 98% of the people, it fluctuates from year to year, about 98% of the people opt out of going to trial and just plead guilty. On the state level, it's a little bit less, but it's just as, it's up there. It's stratospheric. So, I think we all grow up with this idea that in America, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. That's kind of a slogan now. And you know, presumed innocence is something you see on TV shows. We're actually a nation of guilty people. And our criminal justice system is almost entirely about managing guilty people on their way to prison. That's a bureaucratic process now. It's like going to the DMV. You know, there's just a bunch of paperwork you have to do, boxes you have to check, things you got to get done. And there are bureaucracies you have to deal with from, you know, sort of the courts themselves, but outside of the legal arguments in the courtroom, but also the Bureau of Prisons. And, you know, there's a probation interview that happens before you go to prison. There's a bunch of different steps you have to take. And these people who've been through all that many, many, many times, right, with their clients and they personally experience it themselves, they provide you advice on how to manage the sort of bureaucratic rumble that's going to happen on your way to jail.
You know, you likened it to a college entrance exam. Why is that initial interview so important in an outcome in terms of, you know, where someone goes to prison and for how long?
So let's say you get arrested for a major felony, right? And then you work with your lawyer and you decide, okay, it's going to be too costly to go to trial. And you probably did it. There's always that, right? So you plead guilty to some slightly lower charge, or maybe you give the authorities information, which lowers the charge for you. Anyway, you pled guilty, right? And so now you're guilty and you're going to go to jail, right? So the traditional way that lawyers deal with this, right, is they take you into the sentencing procedure, and they basically make an old-fashioned case, which is that what you did wasn't as bad as it sounds. And look, judge, at all these comparable cases where people were sentenced to much lower than what the guidelines are suggesting for my client today. Okay, that's your traditional criminal defense argument. Here's what the consultants are doing. They're saying a smarter play is to confess your guilt, own it. You pled guilty. Just own the guilt. And then in telling that story to a number of different bureaucrats along the way, and finally to the sentencing judge himself or herself, right, that story is going to open up your personhood. You know, it's going to show you who you are. And so the first step along the way in this process is what's called the pre-sentencing interview, sometimes called the probation interview. And so this is where you sit down with a probation officer. It has, you know, it's a confusing term because it doesn't really have anything to do with probation. But let's call it a pre-sentencing interview. And so you sit down with an authority, law enforcement official, and they go over your crime. And traditionally, you know, many lawyers will tell the clients, just say as little as possible and, you know, don't compromise anything, right? The consultants actually go in the other direction. They want you to tell your whole story, because what winds up in the report that person writes is your life. It's the story of your life. And if it's only about your crime, then by the time that paperwork gets to the judge, all he sees is this major felon. That's who you are. You're defined by your felony, right? And what these guys try to do is try to air out that story and tell it in such a way that the crime itself is kind of like a small sort of speed bump in the otherwise, you know, full life that you've led. You know, many of these clients that I spoke to, and I interviewed six people on their way to sentencing, trying to find somebody to use as a character in this story. And they all, you know, had these rather complicated and full lives. And this crime that they did, yeah, it's terrible. But, you know, for most people going to jail, first time offense, you know. And so their whole thing is to recast your, first of all, air out your full story, tell it. And tell it in such a way as that you're confessing that you did do this crime. What that does for you as a client is that by the time it gets to the judge, right, they see this remorse and humiliation and confession coming from somebody that they're going to sentence. And in an odd way, it makes it feel like they've already served their time in some way. It's really a remarkable kind of almost literary trick. If you describe this whole life and you've made this mistake, you're putting it in a context where the judge can say, okay, I see where, you know, you've done all these good things, and I'm going to take that into consideration. By the way, many judges that these consultants have interviewed, and they've interviewed several federal judges, and on their websites you can see these interviews, the judges all say they want this information. They want to know who it is that they're putting in jail. They want to know, like, is this a good person or bad? What does this person think about themselves, right? And so if you go into that interview and all you're doing is just marginally talking about your crime, which is all the pre-sentencing interviewer is going to talk to you about, then that's all the judge has. You're just a major felon. Bang, down comes the gavel and off to prison with you. You know, you do have the lawyer, your defense lawyer, arguing these other mitigating factors. But this is a kind of more of a narrative shift in your whole life story. And it also has this kind of like, sort of like the self-help kind of awaken the giant within motivational speaker kind of stuff to it. Sitting in on a lot of these consults, I was surprised at how much of the consulting was about trying to convince the felon that he or she wasn't the worst person in the world. You know, there's a lot of hand-holding. There's a lot of kind of coaching, you know, like halftime inspirational stuff to kind of get the person off their back. They're so depressed and humiliated. So like I was telling you a few minutes ago, I spoke to 6 different felons who were all pleading out because I wanted to catch somebody in the process of being sentenced and going to jail. During COVID, that turned out to be a lot harder than it sounds because they kept delaying these sentencing hearings. So I was doing 6 of them all simultaneously at the beginning, and it finally winnowed down to Hugo Mejia, the character that's in the story. But, you know, I heard these other guys telling me, you know, about how the worst part is a CEO who, you know, of a multi-million dollar company and who made millions, right, having now to explain to his teenage children that he's a criminal. You know, they lived in this leafy, you know, bougie suburb. And he's going to prison, and probably for a while. And, you know, they had to go to school, these kids. And the consultants also help you with that conversation. How to tell your 14-year-old son and your 18-year-old daughter that daddy is a bad person, did a bad thing, and is going to go to prison, and is going to be in the headlines for the next 6 months of your local paper, right? One guy was telling me that because of the help that he got and how to carry on this conversation, by the time he was getting ready to prepare for his pre-sentencing interview and stuff, his children had kind of come to terms with this. It had become kind of a family, joke. You know, not a joke, but, you know, something that they could actually talk about. And she was heading off to college, and like at dinner, he was telling me, like, he and she would sort of try to figure out, like, who was going to be eating the worst food in the next 2 years. You know, the kid going off to college and eating that Saga garbage, you know, that we all were fed, or, you know, the prison fare. You know, so it's a lot of really practical, you know, a lot of practical advice about how to go to jail. Yeah.
How much do these services typically cost?
Well, I asked that question, and he told me like from a few thousand dollars to, you know, 6 figures. So I'm sure there's a spectrum depending on who they're talking to. I do know that one of the guys that I talked to told me that he had spent several thousands of dollars so far in these fees, which is a very, I think, low end. You know, that would be super low. But the people that were paying like the six figures were these multimillionaires. So, you know, they could easily afford this for the advice they were getting. So that's the range, you know.
Okay, just one more thing. Softball's out, Aristotle's in, at least according to one of the consultants you talked to, but they didn't say anything about doing Hamlet in prison.
Well, if you're going to be if you're going to be a major actor, but when you get out of prison, then sure, you should enroll in Hamlet. for your listeners, that's a reference to a This American Life episode of mine from several years ago. Act 5, it's called. Google it. But the jail time consultants advise about playing softball or watching too much television or playing poker all day is that, you know, when you come into prison, you're often just so depressed. And, you know, the whole system has basically beat you down and told you you're a worthless human being. And so you're, you know, we've all been depressed in that way where you just sit there and watch game shows in the, you know, late morning or something and just feel even more miserable about yourself. And prison has that version of it. And you sit in the, you know, in the TV room and watch, you know, soap operas, or you play, you know, toothpick poker with your pals. And what Michael Santos, who was the other prisoner that Justin Paperny met in prison, they're the ones who formed this whole company years ago. And Santos is this guy who had been sentenced to like, you know, 20 plus years for drug dealing back in the 80s. And he had sort of become not just a jailhouse lawyer, but like a jailhouse philosopher. And his whole thing was, you know, I want to hit the ground running when I get out of here and do something, right? And so he used his whole prison time for just like pure self-improvement, education, and so on. And his whole thing now is to create these programs where he's going to bring this kind of rich guy jail time consulting advice to, all of the prisoners, regardless of income. And so he has this thing called Prison Professors, which is about sort of coaching all these prisoners into rethinking like what they want to do when they get out, and just not to just waste your time playing softball or lifting weights. It's fine to get exercise, sure, you know, but like you really want to be concentrating on like, well, when I get out, what do I want to do? I mean, and he has, this is how he and Justin even started this conversation, because Justin was already, you know, working on like, how do I help other prisoners deal with this. And that was something Santos had been doing for forever. He'd written books about it even from inside prison. And so that they came up with this idea of the consulting firm. And then the larger idea of creating an entire program that would go into the prison system, which it is. It's all of California, Washington State, and a bunch of federal prisons around the country have Santos's prison system in place. You can go to these classes, go through the course and actually get a little time off on your sentence for attending. And this is different from a GRE or the usual sort of, I've been in a lot of prisons, not as an inmate, but as a visiting journalist. And, there's a lot of these programs. I guess what's different is that Santos is trying to get you to create your own exit program. It's not just like a generalized GRE high school equivalency diploma, that kind of thing. It's way beyond that. It's far more personal. Like you're actually sort of selecting the studies that you want to do to create this kind of new version of yourself when you get out the other side. And all of that, I should say, is cast in the language of guilt and humiliation and confession. And one of the things that I spoke to both Santos and Paperny about was like, do they recognize as a kind of religious quality to the advice that they're giving people. And you know, this went right by them. But to me, the way they were talking, it was, you know, it's very much like old, very old world religion. And in fact, you know, the language of our criminal justice system was born in religion. We call it a penitentiary because it was, people were sent there to be penitent. And you were supposed to come out reformed, come out improved. We kind of gave that up somewhere in the mid-20th century. The whole idea of improvement or salvation or you know, you know, betterment, and kind of just went with this kind of rock hard punishment idea. You know, so like if you look at all of our TV shows, you know, all mentions of prisons are about shower rape, brutalization, shivs, and the, you know, you got to punch the biggest guy in the room when you first get in there. All of that sort of, you know, kind of TV yammering about prisons is just sort of an expression of how we think about what our criminal justice system is supposed to be, just harsh, cold brutality. And these guys are basically making this much older argument that prison is about salvation. It's about self-improvement. It's about creating a new you, which was, these are ideas that like a Cotton Mather would recognize, right? I just thought that's kind of why I got into this, because I thought like, everybody, when you first hear this, it's like, oh, they're just fixers. This is just like part of the deep state or whatever. You know, it's just part of this fix-it crowd. If you know it, if you got the money, you can just buy your way out.
Yeah, they'll tell you the right thing to say.
Right. And they will. They will tell you the right thing to say to kind of, if you have a drug addiction problem, to get you into a drug addiction program, which will also cut your sentence, you know, this kind of stuff. But not in some like sketchy way. You know, it's like they're right up front. Like, okay, do you have a drug problem? If you do, then you might want to consider focusing your narrative on that part of it, because that will get you into this program, right? So to that extent, it's like it's nothing like underhanded about it. It's just the way the system works. You know, I mean, I didn't have a SAT tutor when I was in high school, but later, you know, I would talk to these people, and they would explain to me like, well, you know, these questions have a certain test logic. And if you understand the test logic, you can get the right answer without even knowing the answer. I'm like, what? And they're kind of like that. You know, like there's a huge bureaucracy now that feeds this giant guilt system that we've created. Everybody plea bargains. Everybody's guilty. And so we're just rolling these guilty people into prison. And there's a process. There's a number of different stages. And there are ways to make that work on your behalf. And that's just a function of the fact that our presumed innocent, you know, judicial system is now a presumed guilty system. And this is like the free market responding to that.
Well, you can learn a lot more about the growing economy of prison consultants in Jack Hitt's piece in the New York Times Magazine. It's called "Want to Do Less Time? A Prison Consultant Might Be Able to Help." You taught me something I didn't know about at all, and that's always the case with your stories. So thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for writing it.
Thanks, Ian. Great to be here.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.